The Mama Take Heart podcast with Rabrina Rettle is brought to you by Life Audio and is a part of our Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
Welcome to Mama Take Heart, Understanding Your Gen Z Girl. I'm your host, Rabrina Rettle, here to help you be the compassionate, gospel-centered, and influential voice in your girl's life. Today, we're talking about healthy friendships and positive influences for your girl. Joining us is Carrie Kampakis. Carrie is a best-selling author, blogger, and national speaker from Birmingham, Alabama. She's the author of several books for teens and moms of teens, including 10 Ultimate Truths Girls Should Know and Light, Whose Approval Are You Living For? Both books have been used widely across the country for small group studies. Carrie is also the author of Love Her Well, 10 Ways to Find Joy and Connection with Your Teenage Daughter. And that's the book we'll be talking about today. Carrie's newest book, which is available now for pre-order, is More Than a Mom: How Prioritizing Your Wellness Helps You and Your Family Thrive. That book will release April 2022. Carrie's work has been featured on The Today Show, Today Parents, Yahoo News, Grown and Flown, Thrive Global, Your Teen, For Every Mom, The Huffington Post, and other national outlets. She also hosts the Girl Mom Podcast. Carrie and her husband, Harry, have four daughters and a dog named Lola. Welcome, Carrie, and thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Well, your book, Love Her Well, 10 Ways to Find Joy and Connection with Your Teenage Daughter, is chock full of wisdom and insight on how to connect with our girls. I'm interested in discussing chapter 6 in particular about healthy friendships and positive influences. But first, can you tell me what inspired you to write this book?
To be honest, it's probably my mistakes and all the things that I did wrong that really inspired me to write this. As you know, the opening story, I'm on my closet floor just having a breakdown, one of those rock bottom mama moments. I was going through a season of fighting with my daughter, who was 13 at the time. I have four girls, and this was my oldest. And we'd always gotten along great. But our story, I now realize she's 19 now, but I realize now this is pretty typical, the mother-daughter relationship. But we just started having some of that division that, yes, kids become teenagers and they're pulling away. And I was trying to parent her the way I always had when she was younger, and it wasn't working. And so instead of thinking, well, maybe I need a new approach, I was just digging in my heels, thinking, okay, I've got to lay down the law with her and her sisters or they'll walk all over me. But what happened was it just created this big gulf between us that kept getting worse. And she went to school one day and we'd fought over something stupid that morning. And I just broke down when she left. I was like, you know, finally the peace of my quiet home, I was like, I don't want this. And It just hit me that it was my pride that was getting in my way. And I had to ask myself, do I really want to spend the next 5 years of my daughter's life fighting with her and staying on this road? So I knew something had to change. I knew that they had to begin with me. The irony, at the time I was writing books for teenage girls, I just released two books for teenage girls. And so the funny part of that story, I remember thinking, I don't want anybody to ever know about this moment, what's actually happening in my house, because I thought I was a so-called expert on raising teenage girls. And here I was, I couldn't even get a handle of with my own children. But the fact that that story that I didn't want anybody to know 5 years ago ended up being the opening chapter of a book, I think is just such a beautiful testament of God's mercy and his grace and the way he can transform us and transform our families, because that's the number one thing that moms relate to now when they read the book. I mean, they'll email me, I'm crying on page one because this is where we are right now. And so I feel like I'm not an expert by any means. I make all the same mistakes every mom makes. But I have four daughters, so that gives me a lot of personal experiences. And then having written those books for teenage girls, you know, I had the honor of traveling around to a lot of different cities and meeting a lot of different moms, in addition to the moms that I know through my children. And they just share these stories and open up. And a lot of times they're sharing wisdom that's really helped me in my parenting, or sharing stories that I know other people might be going through. Mm-hmm. So I really see myself as more of a resource for moms of teenage girls. I collected all, you know, I talked to teachers and counselors and therapists and other mothers and fathers. And you just try to kind of take it all in. And none of us know everything, but I think the book was my attempt to just create a resource that I wish I'd had when I was entering the teenage years. Now I've got three daughters who are teenagers and a fourth one who's about to become a teenager. And I wish that I'd known this 5 or 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true. For me, it was similar with something about when they start hitting puberty, the hormonal cocktails kick in.
Yes. Good way to put it.
Yes. And you don't even recognize that person. You know, you're like, wait, mm-hmm. what happened to my sweet, compliant child?
Right.
Yes. I did do an episode on autonomy and agency and mm-hmm. basically why it's important. And even though that is a difficult time, it is important because it kind of helps them establish themselves apart from us.
Right.
And then in their agency, it establishes the fact that they will be able to advocate for themselves when we're not there.
Right.
We're not there to protect them. So even though it's hard on us, it's actually healthy for them to go there. But just that they have to keep respect still has to be part of the process. So
right.
You still have to teach them, okay, you can say what you need to say, but in a respectful manner.
And exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And it's true. And I think that also when we enter the teenage years, we're coming out of that sweet spot of parenting where it's just been like, it's easy. Everybody's sleeping through the night. Nobody's in diapers. It's really, I feel like it's kind of the calm before the storm. And you're coming out of that and you're thinking all those stereotypes of teenagers are not going to apply to my family because I've got this sweet little girl who hugs me in public and, you know, never gets embarrassed by me, blah, blah, blah. And then when things start to change, like you said, in that natural shift, I realize that now that that's a good thing that they're establishing their identity apart from their family and just on their own. And that's how they're going to become independent adults is starting down that road. Mm-hmm. But as moms, we can freak out and think we're doing something wrong or I want that connection back. And you can still have a connection, as you know, but it's just going to look different. And I think it's even better. But it is a journey trying to figure out how to parent your daughter, but also build that relationship with her so you can have that friendship that you want long term.
I agree that it is the bridge to the friendship. So it's the bridge from becoming the parent. I look at it as you're a parent, but then you move into coach and mm-hmm. then you move into friend.
Right.
You get to the adult friendship.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really good. I appreciate that. I appreciate you being able to use your hard stuff to help other moms move through and then also to help moms understand and know they're not alone. And mm-hmm. that this happens pretty much to all of us, or at least the majority of us are kind of
right.
something like this. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I wanted to talk about on the friendship part. In your book, you give a list of different types of truths of friendship. And one of them is the perfect friend doesn't exist. And mm-hmm. so, you know, as humans, we are flawed.
Right.
And so our girls will have to understand that their friend's going to be flawed too.
And that comes from personal experience. I'm a perfectionist. I'm a number one on the Enneagram. I know this about myself now. So I have to watch out for those perfectionist tendencies. Not only myself, but also expecting a lot and sometimes too much of others and not allowing them room to be human, not giving them the grace to have a bad day or just, you know, have different strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. So, but what I tell my girls when I was younger, that was one of the biggest mistakes I made with my teenagers, my friends in the teenage years was that I expected to find the perfect friend. And I think I kind of see that again these days because, you know, I call them disposable relationships that, you know, these girls will just drop a friend over one mistake or one mishap. And I think that's why they're also insecure, because when you don't have any security or loyalty in your friendships, then you're going to go in self-preservation mode and you're not going to have those deep connections that you want. But for myself, I would expect to find the perfect friend. And then when somebody was flawed or didn't do something that I liked, then I would just go look for another friend thinking I'd find that perfect friend there. So you can definitely friend hop with that type of mindset. Never have those long-term friendships that last 20, 30, or even 50 years if you do that. And I think that's what we all want. We all want friendships that are going to last, go the distance rather than just be a temporary thing in high school. So I tell my girls, you know, just know no friend is perfect. Obviously, your friends need to be kind and respectful. You've got to have certain shared values if you want to have a good, healthy friendship. But you also got to know that some, you know, a girl who's an introvert who hates social media, she might not be the one posting a social media post on your birthday. You know, like just that's not her. And a girl who's really spontaneous and last moment, she might not be the one planning your birthday party, you know? So I think that's why I think it's so important and really neat to have different friends who fill in those gaps. Yes. And, you know, I've got, you know, I have a friend that I love her to death. If I want to go to dinner, kind of last moment, she's always game for it. You know, she hates to miss out, but the girl cannot keep a secret, you know? So I'm like, if I have a secret to tell, but I really don't want anybody to know, I go to a different friend than right. her because I know that's not her strength. I love right. her for other things. And I think that that's really when you start maturing in your relationships is when you can see your friends for their strengths and their weaknesses and just accept them as they are and kind of work around that and just say, you know, if I need a deep conversation, this is my girl. If I need just, you know, a night just to go out and have fun and just, you know, forget about what I'm sad about, this is my girl. You just have different friendships that serve different needs in your life. And that way you're not relying on one person to be your end all, be all, everything.
I have friends that I've been friends with. I have one friend, I've known her since I was 10 years old, and I'm not 10 anymore. Five times over. And to this day, she's one of my best friends. And then I have another friend from the time I was 12. And once again, to this day, she's one of my best friends. My kids actually call her aunt. So she's auntie to them. And so, I do too. That's, and we've had, you know, we've had our differences with all my friends in the past, but you know, we truly love each other, truly respect each other, and we respect the friendship. And so we come back together.
And you know, one thing I really love about those childhood friendships or the friendships that have lasted that long, especially being the age that we are, is that they know your family, they know your upbringing, they know your siblings. They know you on a different level. And I think that now that we're in the season of life where we're losing our parents, I mean, I noticed this first when my husband lost his father. It's just, obviously all these people come to grieve with you. Your friends are showing up, but the friends who knew his father in high school, who he had been kind of a father figure to them or that they'd known him when they were in college, they had a different sadness in their eyes and they felt the grief on a different level than everybody else that didn't really know him as well. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, that's really what's so special about those old friends is they know those pieces of our history and our past that our newer friends just can't know. Right. And it just, as you get older, you really cherish that.
Very true. Well, another thing you talk about is forced friendships. You say forced friendships never work. And you know what? I had a situation like that with my daughter. She's introverted and quiet. And so she didn't ruffle a lot of feathers. It wasn't her thing. And a lot of parents try to get their daughters to be friends with her. I think also because I was a Sunday school teacher for sixth grade girls. And so I think they thought that's two influences that they kind of wanted their girl to be around. But what happened was the other girls, because they were forced into the friendship, they did not want the friendship. And it actually caused pain for my daughter because those girls didn't want to be there. So there was mistreatment. And that's when I decided, when I started seeing, I was like, yeah, this is not going to work. So I would go to the mom and I'd say, you know, we should not force this friendship. It should become organic. And if they're not meant to be friends, that's fine. You know, but that I did not want to put my daughter in that situation. And I didn't think that really they should put their daughter in that situation either, because it wasn't healthy for her either. Because one, she's in the stage, like we were talking about autonomy. So she wants to choose her own friends.
Right. It's so true. And if they had just been a little bit more hands off, that friendship might have happened naturally. The girls might have found each other and naturally clicked rather than being orchestrated by their moms. Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think, you know, it's funny when our kids are little, I notice when they're little, I could go to any friend's house who had a son or daughter and we could put the kids together and they play, they could learn to get along. I mean, obviously they had certain kids clicked with better than others, but it was pretty open who they would have chemistry with. And then as they get older, it's a little bit trickier. And I always remember what a friend of mine who works at a high school once told me, because she counsels teenage girls. And she said that a lot of the problems she sees, a lot of the girl drama she sees, it's from friendships that are orchestrated probably by the moms. Mm-hmm. Maybe the moms were best friends from high school, or they were college roommates, and they want their daughters to be friends. And it works when your kids are little.
Right.
Then as they get older and they have their own interests and personalities, you can't force that. And so, like I said, and sometimes if you don't try to force it, they might come together on their own. Mm-hmm. But that's definitely something I've learned in my life, and just with my girls too, is that you really just teach them how to be a good friend, teach them what to look for in a good friend, and then trust them to find the good ones.
I agree. And that, you know, that leads us to another one of your truths. Friendships should be a source of comfort, not stress.
Yes. So,
you know, talk to us about how to, when you said for her to be a good friend and find a good friend. So talk to us about a girl who is in a friendship and she calls her friend, but the friend continuously stresses her out. Like, how do we handle that?
I know. I mean, to me, I just feel like when we were growing up, my friend from eighth grade, we talk about this all the time. We're like, we just had fun together. And what we found with each other was an escape. We found an escape from the hard realities of life. We just had fun and laughed. And I don't know why that's so hard for girls to find these days. But I think that one is that, you know, in a lot of schools, that there's just these really tight cliques and tight friend groups. And it's like they can form early in middle school. And I see this a lot, that girls, you know, once you're in a friend group, even if they're not treating you well, or I'll get emails from people, they live in a small town and they don't have a lot of choices of who to be friends with. And so they're not treating you well, but you stay in that group because you have nowhere else to go. Mm-hmm. You want to have friends, you want to have a social life. And if you get out of that friend group, no other friend group will take you in, which, you know, and I think that's a whole other lesson for girls, that's not a friend group. That's a gang. You know, if you can't get in, nobody can get out. Nobody can get in. That's operating like a gang. And that's not real friendship. But I think, too, that sometimes it's like anything when you're new to something. They're new to this friendship journey. They're learning what they do like and what they don't like. And sometimes you don't. If your first friends are not that nice, sometimes you just think, well, that's what friends do to each other. They just pick on each other and they just tell each other, your butt looks big in those jeans. And they think that's normal, you know, to talk like that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not until they get better friendships that they realize, wow, I can't believe I put up with that. Right. And so it really is important to teach our girls, you know, just what healthy relationships look like, not only with girls, but also with boys too. And just, you don't ever want to settle for less than you deserve. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of courage, and you really do have to give credit to these girls who are willing to leave their friend group. And you can do it in a way that's not obvious. You know, you don't have to write them a note, I'm leaving your friend group, but just, you can pull away. Mm-hmm. And you might have to go through a lonely season. And I tell my girls that all the time, that, you know, you might have to go through a lonely season of friendship. And most people I know with daughters, they have at least a few months. They have something in high school. At some point, they go through a lonely season of friendship. And the great thing about when you do have faith is that that's when you realize this is why we need Jesus. This is why we're told to put God as our number one, because we can't put our friends on a pedestal. They're going to let us down. And that's really why we have to put Jesus first and just put him on the pedestal. Because I think girls, they love their friends so much. Their friends are so important. But there's a tendency at that age, especially in middle school, to worship their friends and put their friends on a pedestal. And so when their friends let them down or something changes, it can be devastating. Mm. And so I think just knowing, you know, putting God first, knowing that we've got him even during those lonely seasons, and he's going to teach us lessons that we could not learn any other way, that's really going to make us a better person, a better friend, and open the door to stronger friendships. But we have to trust that process.
That is very true. My daughter went through a lonely season, actually years. She went through a lonely season. And that was the time I kind of stepped in. And although I was the parent, mm-hmm. I had to be her friend. And
right.
So, you know, we just did a lot together. We would go to the farmer's market, or, you know, every Tuesday night we'd go have coffee together, or, you know, mm-hmm. Cocoa when she was in middle school. Then when she got a little older, coffee. And that's when I started we did a couple of Bible studies together. So I just kind of had to step in and keep her busy, you know,
yes.
And
yeah.
For her to, you know, have someone to talk to and a place to go. And I also prayed over an older girl in our church to kind of walk alongside her in that season. And once again, you don't want to force that either, because I did that once too, and that did not work out very well. But there was another girl that kind of naturally would always kind of talk to her. And then I asked, hey, do you mind, you know, taking her for coffee sometime, you know, and then they formed a friendship. And so, and she was, I think she was in college, and she was either a senior in high school or she was in college. And so that was helpful also, that she had an older girl walking alongside her, speaking truth into her life and making her feel special.
Yes. Yes. It's funny. That is exactly when moms reach out to me and their daughter's been ostracized by their friend group or something's happening. That's the first piece of advice I give them. I was like, the most important thing right now is for you to surround your daughter with love and just people who make her feel worthy and special. And it could be her grandparents. I know one mom, her daughter was going through a hard time. And so she had her best friend from camp come in town and surprise her. And like you said, like that girl at church, that was a natural thing. And I do think if we open our eyes, that we will see that God is so good. And when you go through a lonely season, he will bring friendship or love into your life. It might look different than you expected. Mm-hmm. It might not be their peers or their grade at school. But I suggested that to a mom too. I was like, you know, she's having trouble with her grader friends, but is there a girl in an older grade or younger grade that maybe you could invite her and the mother to go to dinner? And that's a natural friendship that you all click and get along. But just something to kind of get your daughter through that time. And like you said, I have a lot of friends too who that same thing has happened. Like the good thing was my daughter and I got really close during that time.
Right.
And it can be an opportunity for mothers and daughters to bond and for them to see, you can tell them all day long that you have their back and you will never leave them. But, you know, that's what shows them that, you know, friends may come and go, but your family really is forever. And yes, when you tell her that is her mother, and I think that's just something that she will never forget.
There was something else that you touched on when you said to teach your girl about healthy relationships in friendships, but not only in friendships, but with a boy also. Because I think why I was so concerned about my daughter and the type of relationships she was having with her friends is because this is the prequel to a relationship with a boy. And yes, so if she would accept bad behavior in her friendships with a girl, she right, might think that's the norm for a friendship with a boy. And right, so, yeah, that's why I was kind of like, you know, in general, I would make it in general, this is right, not how people treat each other. Not right, this is not how a girl treats you, or this isn't how a boy treats you. This is how people don't treat each other. So she would understand
right,
in this friendship, it's a no-go. And if you have a boyfriend and they're treating you this way, it's a no-go.
Right. Yeah. And what you know too, as you get after parenting for so many years, is you know, if they are in that unhealthy group of friends, then that group of girls is probably going to attract guy friends who are pretty unhealthy too. They're probably going to be dating guys. So it's going to put her, it's not only going to affect her friendships, it is going to affect who she's hanging around, who she's probably dating or going to homecoming with, because if, you know, she's in a mean group, then they're probably going to be hanging out with some mean guys. And it just puts her on that path of like, she might not meet the people that you really want her to be meeting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well said. Well, the last thing I kind of wanted to talk about is on Truth 10, you say nothing kills friendships quicker than jealousy and comparison. That is really big now because of social media and, you know, this, what do they call it? FOMO, fear of missing
yes,
out. Yeah, that's yes, supposed to be big with Gen Z.
Yes, yes. And, you know, somebody once told me that one thing that the saints would do when they felt jealous of someone is they would say the opposite of what they felt. So, in other words, compliment the person. And so, you know, here's an example as a mom. I'm like, I tell my girls all the time, like, I still can feel jealous of my friends as a mom. And it might look like, you know, I'm pulling into my driveway and my youngest has been begging me to pull out Halloween decorations and I keep forgetting. And then I look at my neighbor's house, who's always on the ball, and she's got hers up and they're big and bold and beautiful. And I'm kind of like feeling jealous of her and kind of getting, you know, little, you know, catty toward her. Like, of course she's got hers up. Right. And so, you know, that's really, you really have to just catch yourself and just be like, no, that's my friend. And she's got her strengths. I've got my strengths. And just instead of feeling like that, maybe text her, say, hey, I love your Halloween decorations. Mm-hmm. And they do say that, you know, emotion follows motion. So when we act loving toward a person, then that love, even if we don't feel it at the time, it will follow. And so I think it's the same thing when we're feeling jealous of someone, to compliment them on that thing that we're feeling jealous of, and just get in that habit of celebrating people. And, you know, like, wow, this is my best friend that just accomplished this. So instead of feeling jealous, to compliment that friend instead, mm-hmm. and just feel so grateful that that's your friend, instead of thinking that I look bad in comparison, thinking, wow, this is such an honor that she's my friend, that this is even better. I'm happier for her than I would be if it happened to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is good, because then also when majority of the time, when you are supportive with your friend's going to support you. So when mm-hmm. she has wins, you celebrate her wins. And then when you have wins, she should celebrate your wins. And then that kind of helps you determine whether or not she's a supportive friend anyway, because if she doesn't support your wins and you're supporting her wins, then it's a one-sided thing and is not being reciprocated. And so that's exactly. something to keep in mind too.
Exactly. As we know, you know, this is for all relationships. And I even think about when I got married, I'm a terrible cook. I'm not good in the kitchen. I try, but that's not my strength. But my husband is Greek. And so his family, they're all great cooks. His sisters are great cooks. His mom's a great cook. And when I got married, I felt like I had to be a great cook. And I was very insecure about it because I wasn't. And, you know, kind of jealous of all of his family. And then when I finally accepted, I'm like, you know, this is not my lane. I can try this and do this. But if I need a recipe, I can, you know, I've got these awesome resources. How lucky am I that I've got these people in my family that can help me and guide me here when I do need help. And so really, when I shifted and started thinking, gosh, I'm so lucky that I've got these great cooks in the family, even though I'm not a great cook, it helped me be less insecure about my weaknesses.
Wow. This was a great conversation. Thank you so much, Carrie. I appreciate your authenticity and your vulnerability and your books, and just guiding us in how to love our girls well.
Well, thank you. I love this. You're a great conversationalist and you made it easy.
Thank you. Well, I have your media links, but tell us how our mamas can reach out to you.
Okay. I'm probably most active on Instagram. It's okay. Just my name, Carrie Kempakis. And then also on Facebook under Carrie Kempakis Writer. And then I also have the Girl Mom podcast, which I'm hit or miss as far as keeping that updated. And then my books. I've written 3 books and I have a 4th book for moms coming out in April. And those are all on Amazon and everywhere books are sold.
Yes. And I think we might have Carrie back to talk about her newest book. And that one's More Than a Mom, How Prioritizing Your Wellness Helps You and Your Family Thrive. That's the one that's coming out in April. And we just might have you back. So we can talk about that, a little something for mom.
Yes, I would love it.
Remember, God is for you and you are not alone. With His Spirit, you are filled with courage and strength of purpose. So don't worry, Mama. Instead, take heart.
Mama Take Heart is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you liked what you just listened to, would you take a second and leave us a rating in your favorite podcast app? It really does help more people like you find our show. This podcast is produced by me, Kelly Givens, and Steven Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. You can find more podcasts like this over at lifeaudio.com.
The content we feed our minds will eventually show up in our lives. If we feed our minds the lies and confusion of this world, our lives will begin to reflect worldliness. But if we feed our minds the truth of the gospel, our lives will start to reflect the heart and character of Jesus. I'm John Stonge, and each week I host the Dwell on These Things podcast, where we take a deep look at the Word of God and learn what it means to apply it to our lives. We don't skip difficult passages, and we don't gloss over the truth. If you're looking for a show that will put your mind in a better place and help you understand God's Word with more clarity, you can listen to the Dwell on These Things podcast at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcasting app.